There's a lot of things that I don't get about cultures and cliques and stuff like that, especially on the internet. But there's one that I will never understand. And I don't get why anybody would gatekeep anything ever. Have you ever seen it where when somebody's like, oh, I'm a fan of the Bethesda games. And then somebody's like, oh, yeah, name the boss on this area. You know, they like gatekeep because they want to make sure that you're like a true fan or something.
Because they're trying to keep you out, Jake.
Just you.
They don't want you.
Yeah, but I'm better than them.
Eh, I don't think so. You just don't live up to their standards.
Try telling them suck.
I mean, do you know who the second lead visual effects artist was on Borrowind or not?
Okay, I'm gonna give you 5 seconds.
I don't even know what game you're talking about.
Can't look it up. You're gone. Banished.
Well, all I know is Todd Howard is God, okay?
Todd Howard's gonna come to your house and take all your games, okay?
He's also named God Howard for that reason.
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
Gabe Kelly, Gabe
Kelly. I'm not even coming to your game.
It's like if somebody was talking about Final Fantasy and then they stopped and started talking about a good game.
You play League of Legends. You don't know what a good game is.
John's like, that's not me. That's my wife.
Not going to lie. That's the only game I know you play. For a fact, you played like in the past. So
It's the only target he has to shoot
for. I know. It's the only thing I got to shoot at.
But have you guys ever dealt with people gatekeeping stuff? Because to me, let me put it this way. If somebody all of a sudden was like, I've never heard of D&D or tabletop role-playing games, I wouldn't be like, well, you know, it's a little exclusive. I'd be like, when do you want to play? Right now. Tell me when you're available right now. Because it's like, I want people to be in the thing that I like because I like it and I want to share the experience. And I don't get the opposite of that. That when somebody says, I've never heard of it or I've been interested in it or that sounds interesting, then they immediately just like shut that person out and say, no, bad, stop it.
Are we kind of handicapped with whenever somebody's like, you know what, I really love tabletop RPGs. It's like, well, you know, this Pathfinder thing. Everybody normally starts with D&D, so.
Well, yeah, I think D&D is just the name. It's like Band-Aid, right? It's just the blanket name for it. But it's, you know, that's why when people say D&D, I'm like, what about this game? And I'll talk about Pathfinder or like Shadow Dark, because that's a really simple game to get into. But yeah, like, that's the thing, too, is that like, even if there is a complicated game, because a lot of people think that like Pathfinder 2nd Edition is pretty complex, and it only is if you want it to be kind of thing. But like, even if somebody's interested in the type of game that we're playing, there's always like introductory things to get into the hobby. And I'm just like, there's no reason to gatekeep.
What do you mean by gatekeeping? Like, who's keeping people from playing D&D? Because I mean, the kind of exclusion I see in like the TTRPG space is usually has to do with whether the people at the table are like safe participants in that they respect other people's like beliefs and aren't problematic.
No.
Like I don't think I've ever seen gatekeeping being like, no, you can't, you're not good enough to play D&D with me.
No, I think D&D was probably not the like the good example of it. Oh, but it's,
well, yeah. You guys haven't been on the internets like I have then, because I've heard some horror stories.
Oh, D&D horror stories are pretty funny.
Oh yeah, they're mostly against women.
Yeah,
and it's usually just some, you know, some fedora wearing. Well, I mean,
that is what I mean. Yeah. There's like the people who want tables to be safe, and then there's the people who want to like be shitty to minorities and women. So that's what, and like they gatekeep each other.
But is that exactly gatekeeping, or is that just being a shitty person? Because I feel like gatekeeping gatekeeping to me is something like, oh, you can't enjoy this unless you know this, this, and this, and this.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's what if the stories that I've read, like, that's what, like, kind of the things that we're saying was just like, oh, you don't know how to, like, you know, use, like, attack with your character? Like, why are you even here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
like, oh, you don't know how that spell works? Like, why are you even here?
Right.
But those are some of the stories I've seen. And the person is literally just like, I'm literally here to learn.
Right.
And, like, you're gatekeeping me because I didn't, like, read everything ahead of time. Like,
I mean, like, I honestly, I've never played the game, so, but I know that, what was it? I think John might know this, but League of Legends, wasn't that the one that, like, people, even if they're just trying to start out, they immediately get shut out by anyone else because they're like, you don't know how to play. And they're like, yeah, I'm trying to learn. And they're like, no, don't even.
Right, more or less. Bro. Yes, it's a terrible community.
Yeah, don't even try to play. Like, what?
Yeah.
You don't want me to play the game you're playing? What?
Yeah, I would say most of the time for gatekeeping that I've never personally seen it, but it's namely, like, if someone's listening to a certain band or something, and they're like, oh, please, like, they would say, like, oh, you don't get it, or something like that. And you're like, no, I like this album. And they're like, oh, that was the shitty album. Like, I can't believe, like, you even like that. And they're like, don't even. Like, that's the me kind of more gatekeeping than anything else. Like, that they're just very condescending.
Yeah.
About it.
I guess I don't interact with that many people because I don't like people that much. So I don't try to join communities. I just do the things that I like to do.
wait, hold up a second. Is, like, me being, like, super into, like, espresso and, like, good coffee, like, am I the gatekeeper? Am I the people trying to shut people out?
Hey, Tim, you're assuming that we would take your advice.
Hey, Tim, when you see someone enjoying a crappy cup of coffee, do you judge them?
I slap it out of their hand.
Do you lecture them?
Do you even know where those beans came from?
Yeah, like, I specifically go into Wawa and stand by the coffee that people dish out. I go,
wow. Really? Wow, you go to Wawa? Okay. I mean, Royal Farms is right there.
Oh, I see you enjoy drinking cat piss. Interesting. Mm. Not very many pee-pee enjoyers around here.
Enjoy the sour taste.
Pee-pee enjoyers. I like that.
And how you're gatekeeping the piss enjoyers now.
That's our new word for gatekeepers,
Jake
pee-pee enjoyers.
Killed Jake.
Instead of calling it like a piss kink, I'm just going to call it pee-pee enjoyers.
pee-pee enjoyer.
Makes it seem less taboo for some weird reason.
It really does lighten what that is. Makes it more palatable.
One's disgusting. One's disgusting. The other one's kind of funny.
Hey, don't kink shame Jake. We may have pee-pee enjoyers listening to us right now.
You're gatekeeping this podcast.
You're gatekeeping.
Don't gatekeep my pee-pee.
Please. My pee-pee needs it. Don't gatekeep. Oh my god.
Is this what you intended, Jake, for this conversation to go into?
Not at all.
I'm just curious.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I don't know what I saw that even made me angry at something getting gatekeeped, but it was just one of those things that I was just like, how is it you can enjoy something and then go, no one else can enjoy it, only me?
You sure you just didn't see a gate and just got angry at it? And that was it.
I think it is kind of a problem with people like checking nerddoms. It's like somebody tries to get into something and immediately you have to have all the mega fans being like, well, do you like this or this? Yeah. It's a very asshole thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's so prevalent that, like, there's memes about it. There's one that's like, you like Warhammer 40K? Can you name the other 39,999? Like, and that's funny.
Where are all the other 39,000 Warhammers?
And, like, that's funny, but it just shows that, like, it's so common that we get the reference of that conversation. Yeah.
I mean, you can just get online and just post, I liked The Last Jedi, and it's over.
Oh. And you call yourself a Star Wars fan, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that would happen immediately.
Well, you know, the Star Wars fans are famous for liking the thing that they're a fan of, so.
Star Wars fans are really bad sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? They're famously level-headed and kind.
I mean, man, what was the famous thing of Star Wars fans hate Star Wars? No one hates Star Wars as much as Star Wars fans, because...
Yep.
Yeah. And I understand the thing that, like, you have to love something in order to criticize it. But at a certain point, it's like, do you even like this thing anymore? Do you even like this thing that you want so much? I don't know. Because, like, I watch those and go, Yeah, yeah, okay, I get that. You know, the visuals are good, yeah, no matter what it is. But it's like, you don't have to like everything. There are some parts of Star Wars that aren't meant for you. There are some parts of any other type of media that are trying to cater to get more people into it, the opposite of gatekeeping, in order to get more people interested in it. That's why there's a whole crossover between like Dungeons and Dragons, you know, the Wizards of the Coast umbrella, where it's like Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons, and then like there's like even like board games that are like focused on the Wizards of the Coast like IP and everything under that, because they want people to enjoy that sort of umbrella of stuff. I don't know.
No, Jake.
What?
That's called the IP pump, okay? Hasbro's just trying to milk that cow for all
its worth. Oh, I know that. Definitely.
Let's not conflate the two of encouraging people to join the fandom and literally just squeezing a cash cow until it shrivels and dies.
Right, hold on. Paizo is really good at making things that's going to get people into it.
I would say the counter to that, Jake, is just like understandably accepting people in there, but I think it's also for people scared of enchidification. Of, like, you allow a lot of people into something, then it becomes kind of worse in some way. Like, depending on, like, what you were actually just saying. Like, you're just trying to get everyone involved into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it lessens the actual content of the, like, original movie or something like that. And you see, like, a downgrade. So the original fans, they get feel betrayed, and then it turns into a whole thing. I mean,
yeah, it's... Yep.
I think the point of this whole bant is that if you actually play Dungeons & Dragons, the brand, you're wrong, and you shouldn't do that anymore. You are RPGing wrong.
I have a totally better game for you. Message me on Discord. Find me on social media. I'll introduce you. I'll play the beginner box with you. You can cash that in. But today, we're not playing the beginner box. We are playing more of the Age of Ashes adventure path. It's been 200-some episodes. I think it's 206. Can you believe that, guys?
I know. Kelly's kids are in college now.
They're so old. They eat so much now. Like, they used to leave leftovers. Now, they just eat everything now. It's awful. I got them McDonald's tonight, and I was like, all right, I'm going to have some fries and have a couple leftover nugs. No, it was gone in, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, well, what happened? These kids used to not eat all this food, and now they eat everything. It's terrible.
Nothing but desolation afterwards.
Yeah.
They even ate the bag. It's
then they asked for more. They made more chicken nuggets in the air fryer after they were done. Because,
my God.
I have a 10-year-old boy, and he's starting to just turn into a monster.
Yeah, you are about to find out what our parents suffered with us as 10-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom just being like, stop fucking eating. Stop. Go for a friend's house.
Stop eating. Stop growing. I'm not buying you any more shoes.
Yeah, that was exactly. a losing battle with my mom.
Yeah, really. Well, there's one guy who's never going to grow older, and that's the two dwarves in our party. We got to see John's new character, Sandor Bosk.
You say two dwarves in the party?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. I only know of one.
Oh, my wow. God. He's gatekeeping. Wow. All right.
Yeah, he's racist. He's gatekeeping
being a dwarf?
But Sandor is not a dwarf, all right? Like, that's not... That's...
Wow.
That's Garn and me talking, all right?
Wow. Wow.
Well, I was going to ask, how did you guys like seeing Sandor display some of his magical prowess?
You know, I think...
Pretty cash like, money, Garn, honestly.
Garn had the impression that it was like tip of the iceberg. I there was a lot that happened in that combat, but we had a lot of heavy hits really quickly. And I know Sandor was a part of that, but it was kind of like one of those things where it's like, it feels like this guy is like, you haven't seen my final form yet, you know?
You've not yet seen my true form.
Yeah. Like, he's just like, it seemed like Sandor was kind of like testing the waters almost and seeing what we could do and not like really showing off what he can do.
See,
which Garn thinks is pretty badass.
Yeah, see, all I know is that Sandor arrived, he cast a spell, and then Khezra was tearing himself apart. I mean, it was just that good.
Yeah, this is your first real encounter in the haunted city, Sagarok. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those dwarves don't count.
You know, if this is what you encountered, you guys really need to make sure that you are prepared. Yeah. Whenever you
need to get some like liquid light or something, like sunlight spells that we can just like bomb. Like, you know, there's I think they make alchemical bombs you can just throw on the ground and they become light or something. Like, we need to have a couple pocket those in case we need to make a mistake.
Whoops. Well, let's bring it back now to you guys. The lightning bolt has shot through the air and shot through this creature, which I think, I don't know if you guys got the name of it, but I'll tell you, it's just called a devourer. And it fades into nothingness, and you see the souls crawling out of his chest, just go off into the ether, and just are now set free. Pick it up from there.
Kesar was a confused dragon on the roof, so I guess he kind of snaps out of it after a little bit, and he just like gives. Send, he's still a dragon, but he like gives him like a nod, like he's like, that was awesome.
So does he do that often? And then just point up to the giant dragon.
Yeah, big,
you mean
Asmodeus star on him, on his chest, right.
So do you mean the turning into a dragon, or, you know, scratching his eyes out?
Well, I was gonna say the dragon part. I mean,
oh, he did that before. I think that's one of his repertoire.
Oh, yeah, I'm very hurt.
Yeah, you were doing so much damage.
Like, I literally was clawing my eyes out, and there's just like blood running up, running from my face, and like rips
so
up.
So what
my
you're
chest.
Saying is you're weak.
The thing got in my head. I couldn't. I had no control over my side.
Can you speak common while you're in dragon form?
Yeah.
Damn, that's
yeah, dragons
cool.
talk.
He's just shouting in Draconic, and you're just like, oh my god, he's feral. Kill him.
Yeah. Dragons are famous, or more infamous, actually, for never shutting up, in fact.
So it's like Kesra, you know?
Yeah, Kesra.
Just like me.
Garn does rush over to Kesra, who is, like, you know, dragon form, bleeding profusely. And kind of like he pulls out the med kit, doesn't really quite know where you're at. I know you're kind of talking, but he kind of holds it up and is like, am I safe to approach?
Yeah, Kesar jumps off the roof.
And eats him.
takes 5 foot. Takes damage.
Shoot lightning straight down on you.
Honestly, though, I just need to breathe on you, you'd probably die.
Yeah, I'm better.
Whoa, that big guy. Sun's getting real low.
Yeah, I'm at one third of my health. I only have 57 HP left. I did a lot of damage.
You did all that to yourself too. Yeah, that is fantastic use of a confusion spell. My God.
Yeah, Sandor is going to take a look around the area, see if there's anything we can get. I mean, I don't assume this creature left any remains. So,
No. It fades into nothingness.
So. Did the ghouls run away, or did they all die?
You killed all of them.
We purged them.
If you when this thing came down, I'll tell you that there might have been some ghouls that were coming up behind the ones you killed, but when this thing came down, they scattered.
Oh, so those things are freaked out by the devourer, I guess. Like,
I mean, there's always a bigger fish.
I mean, I get that. I just was like, well, they're undead, I guess. I don't know. Not like kinship, but like, oh, they wouldn't care because they don't have souls. I don't know. Do ghouls have souls? Shit. I'm thinking about it.
Do ghouls have souls? That's a good question.
Yeah, because I thought they were like undead, so.
They are undead, but I think. But they're driven by hunger, so I believe that they still keep all of their like old. Yeah, retaining martial skill. These powerful ghouls are not afraid to meet their foe in open, feeding on flesh of their fallen opponents to learn their combat abilities.
Sounds like a macabre children's story. Do ghouls have souls?
Chicken soup for the ghoul soul.
I know husk zombies can have their soul be retained. because that is the prerequisite for getting the zombie like dedication for a player character.
Tim's been doing research.
Mm-hmm. For what, Tim? For what?
Nothing, Jake.
When Garn dies and comes back.
I'll text you later. Garn comes back. I'm back.
God, I was never raised Garn from the dead.
You guys are loading spells I have.
It's gonna be so funny because they let John's character in as a Hringar. They are absolutely never going to let an undead player character walk in.
Oh, come on! He's got the blood of a god coursing through him.
Blood of a god, he's undead. The whole thing's just weird.
It works.
Okay.
Garn does treat wounds on Kezra, and thankfully I chose lower DC so I can crit on it, and I'm glad I did because I rolled a nat 2, but that still is a success.
Nice.
So you're not going to get the crit, which actually, now that I'm looking at it, I think it's actually better just to go for the higher DC, but I'm glad I didn't, because I wouldn't have gotten it.
You're like, I'm not a veterinarian, I don't know what I'm doing.
And I only gave you 17 hit points.
Gee, thanks.
But I think I could try again in 10 minutes, so I might just like roll a bunch and then tell you.
Yeah, it's an hour walk, so.
Oh yeah, plus there was that one woman, female dwarf there.
Oh yeah.
So
I can treat multiple at once as well. So,
but either way, I mean, like, Ambrose is going to approach her, you know, just cautiously, just be like,
yep.
Oh, seems the threat has been alleviated. Why? I believe he'll safe now. And he's just kind of gesturing around. There's no other ghouls. They're all gone at this point.
Yeah, they're all gone. And she looks like an adventurer of some kind. She has just like a humongous crossbow. But she's all beat up. The one attack that I got on her was not the first one.
Kezra walks up and he's like, what the hell are you doing out here all by yourself?
So she's got her crossbow real tight to her chest and she's holding it. And she just looks around and she's just like, oh, they came out here adventure. And I'm from the surface. I'm not even from Kovlar. And I need to leave. I need to leave now.
Whoa, hold on. Not in this shape, at least. And he's going to do a medicine check on her as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because, if anything, alleviates the pain, makes it a little bit easier to talk to when someone's not, like, freaking injured all the time.
Yeah. Bleeding out just about, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it matters. That's a 30 for medicine.
You're able to patch her up easy enough. Put some bandages on her and cover up her midsection that got cut open and stuff like that. So you spend some time. She's able to calm down. You can see some of the ghostly spirits sort of like hovering around you, but they seem to be sort of keeping their distance since you just killed something very big. So it seems that they are kind of staying away. And so through the 10 minutes that it would take, or I guess 20 now for you guys working on yourselves, she reveals her name is
my name is Dor Axbo. I came down here knowing that there's this haunted city and they let adventurers in here to try their best, but we completely underestimated everything down here.
And she, and like when you see like a shadow move, she like quickly like points the crossbow at it.
So all right, you'll be safe for now. Tell me, you say you're from the surface. From where do you hail?
No, I'm from a small town in the Five Kings Mountains. It's a family thing. I thought it'd get away from my family to come here, but I just want to go home. I just need to go home.
Well, we know of a wizard with great magics that might be able to help you out, but aside from that, we need at least take you back to Kovlar.
Yes, please.
Did you have any companions?
None left. There were three. There was two humans, and there was a half elf, but they're gone. The one that,
and she's like kind of like her eyes go wide for a second. She goes,
the one he was a knight. I thought him invincible. I just his head was removed. One fell swoop. It was like nothing.
At this point, you are fine with us. You are safe here. So, do you know how far back that was?
It was only a few blocks away, but I can't stay here. Can we go back now?
Oh, yes, of course. Let's...
Wait, we should need to go back and go back to the wizard. Cannot leave him alone at the gate. I know he thinks he is invincible, but his ignorance and his unawareness will be his undoing.
In all likelihood, he's fine by himself. If you want, I can go back and I can meet you back in the city.
We stay together.
Very well.
So, how long would it take to go back to the wizard, I guess, at this point? Or
the wizard was close. Because remember, we heard the scream? Like, yeah. It was within earshot.
Yeah.
So we're talking, like, minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly, yeah.
So that's why I say we go back to Archmage Hurumgar Nolervin.
Plus, I think
totally did not forget his name.
John unfortunately had his cool teleport spell reveal ruined, but
yeah, it was unfortunate.
Seems like getting around is going to become a lot easier.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I almost took teleport at one point with Kazra, but still couldn't fit it in.
I think I mentioned that. Never mind. I'll talk about it later.
Yeah, but that didn't happen in game, to clarify.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So you guys get to where he is. You go past the Hall of Giants, and then you go through the crack. Or well, actually, it's past wall. So now it's just a hallway. Past the rotting corpse of the purple worm again, and you get to where he is. And when you walk up, you see that he has set up this entire encampment, pretty much, of like tables and chairs and all sorts of workstation equipment and stuff like that. Crystal balls all over the place. He looks like a new age wizard, just like experimenting on stuff. He has things that are like taking like chalk or like the charcoal scrub rubbings of the doorway. Like he's got things working automated. Okay, and he's taking notes furiously. And when you walk up, you see that there is a piece of ground or a piece of rock that is completely smooth. That looks like it was sort of raised off to the side. And then there is a drawn doorway right there.
Oh. Looks like you made yourself quite comfortable, Archmage.
I won't be comfortable until they figure this whole thing out. This is absolutely marvelous.
You plan on staying here long?
How long has it been?
Well, it's only been a couple of minutes. You've actually made quite quick work of this place.
I have so much work to do. Look,
and he starts like flipping through a bunch of notes of like a book that was writing itself.
The guard's head starts to hurt.
And you can see that he is preparing a spell called Liminal Doorway.
What?
Holy shit!
So you draw a chalk doorway in an unbroken surface. So that's where he like raised just like a brick of stone. Which opens into an extra-dimensional space. Any creature treating the drawing as an actual door can interact to touch the doorknob and pass through. The warped chalk-drawn room beyond the door is 20 feet in width, depth, and height. The space is unadorned and empty, with chalk lines indicating the corners of the walls. So this is just like his private room. So he goes, hey, you can take shelter here if you need it.
Oh, wow. So you get to escape into this place?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Tell me, do you have any of those stones that can be spoken through?
I guess you, Kazra, but
No, I'm asking the Archmage.
Oh, like the Eye of the Wise. Because you have the Eye of the Wise that can do that.
So the Eye of the Wise is the stone that we're talking through back at Treechill?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
So this is like some sort of legendary
item. Hey, can you make another one? Just curious, man.
Can you just do another one, please?
I mean, Garn really doesn't know that, so he's asking. He's like, my companions have this stone that they can talk through. It seems quite useful. I would like to keep in contact with you.
Oh, if only I could make something like that right here, right now. That would be impressive. But I would have to be an ancient elven god to make one of those.
Oh, really? And he just kind of cricks his head like, huh. Maybe Garn didn't really understand the full gravity of the situation.
Yeah, can you just make another one of those elf gates? It'll probably take you, what, 5 minutes?
Maybe a broken 10. One. You want to come fix that one?
Yeah, let me get some spit and some WD-40. Be right up in the oven.
That acid is an interesting point, Kezra. If you can figure this one out, do you think you could fix a broken one?
Wait, are you talking...
Archmage?
What?
he was pondering his orb, alright.
I have so many orbs to ponder.
Well, maybe I'll ask him later.
If you guys want to just teleport back, he's more than happy to work with Sandor to make a teleport. So,
sick. Oh, this is our new friend. We found her. She's about to get eaten by some grotesque monster in the deep. But that's not important.
So. Well, good to see you all still alive.
Archmage, I'm going to head back to town with these good people for now. I will return to you in a short amount of time.
Bring this when you return. And he hands you a folded piece of paper.
He hands you a what?
It's a folded piece of paper.
Alright, grabs it.
Suspicious.
It says about 3 pounds of blow.
We're going to need a lot more cocaine to do this investigation.
Ammonia is just something great, man.
I don't want to sleep for a minute.
If I sleep, I lose.
I don't need sleep, I need answers.
So that's why he's so spacey.
So you guys go through the teleports. How many of you guys have teleported before as your characters?
I've dimension doored.
Yeah, maybe a quick hop, but nothing like this.
Yeah, definitely not this level.
Yeah.
I think the limits of my particular spell is like 1,000 miles right now.
Jeez,
only
1,000 miles.
Ugh. Yeah, well, so teleport at spell level 6 is up to 100 miles.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Yeah. So now, when you get a heightened to 7th, which it will be 7th level spells will be available to you guys next level.
Oh.
7th rank. That is when it gets to 1,000.
God, that makes my dick hard.
Yeah, wasn't it like first edition? It was like pretty much teleport. You could just teleport wherever you visited.
Yeah, I think it was like a higher level or a higher rank spell anyway. Right. So I think that if I remember correctly, that they like kind of shifted it down so that way it was more easily accessible, but not as powerful. It kind of grew with you. So
since playing Pathfinder, I don't think I've ever cast a 7th level spell. I think 6th is the highest I've ever gone.
Wow.
Whoa. Well,
maybe we'll maybe you know keep Kevzer alive. Until next level.
He'll never die.
you guys teleport back to just inside the gate of Kovlar. So all of a sudden you guys just you stand in the thing, a bunch of magic surrounds you, and then as the magic fades, you are all of a sudden in Kovlar. And so you... Here. What?
There's somebody there! Who's... Oh, it's Sandor the Apprentice and his friends.
And you realize that the people on the wall... You just teleported behind them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so they're like, what the
fuck? And they're just like, oh, hey, what the fuck?
Just me, guys, don't worry.
So they you see them all wipe some sweat from their foreheads.
Kezra just looked at Sandor, he was like, that was awesome.
Isn't this shit sick? A little insulting, they still refer to me as the apprentice. I'm more powerful than, like, 80% of the wizards that have lived in this world, but, you know, whatever.
All I know is I need to learn that spell.
Oh, I can, I can help you with that.
It felt like bits of my body and soul were rearranged and placed back together. But unfortunately, my weird shaped chest is still the same.
I like to think of it as kind of tunneling in between places. If you take a map and fold it, that's kind of how I envision it.
Well, whatever they're teaching you in school, it's working.
Yes, that makes sense.
I'm used to just praying for things and great stuff happens.
Loser.
Wait, actually, Garn, when he was a war priest, he did have a teleport spell. It was like a divine teleportation, but it was short distances.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He's...
I prayed to my god and we got places.
He just took me there.
I prefer to think of it as a wormhole.
When you guys kind of get your bearings and realize just how cool that was, one of the guards approaches you and is like,
Hammersong wanted to see you. He wanted me to let you know when you got here that they're looking for you.
Thank you, but we have brought along a stray, someone from the deep of the forsaken city who needs safe passage to the surface. Is that something that you all can provide?
Yes. I can take her right now to the barracks, to the infirmary, and get her patched up, and then we can give her an escort back home.
Yeah, Garn, like, grabs his hand, shakes his hand, and very much, like crazy old man style, like, pulls up his sleeve, trying to look for, like, the mark of the Scarlet Triad. Like, good man. Guy's like, what the fuck?
Well, thank God he didn't check my other hand.
This is Lumpy Door frisking me, I mean.
Buy me dinner first. So they take Dor Axbow. They take her take her and patch her up and everything like that. So you feel as though she's in good hands.
In a way.
And then do what?
I was just about to say, Sandor, as they are walking her away, it's like, it's in a way, it's a bit of a tragedy. Their open policy to let adventurers come through. I see what they want to do. Get as many people in to try to clear out as much undead as possible with the promise of treasure. That way they have to spend less money doing it themselves. But people very rarely come in prepared enough to mess with this stuff.
Yeah, I wonder, is it like is it a thing that they let, or is it something that you just kind of can't stop? Because, I mean, adventurers dying in the city is not really good for Govlar.
Yeah, because then you got undead adventurers. So.
Yeah, so that's the double-edged sword. But also, adventurers want to come here to try to get good treasure, you know, defeat big monsters or whatever. So they're sort of like, we can't stop them. So let's at least like give them passage and let them stay here.
Set up an information desk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
is the actual
purpose of Kovlar? Is it just like a city that appeared that was built next to the city to scavenge it?
Yeah, so like that was the original purpose was because that's how it started, and so
I thought they were surviving. So I thought it started out as survival. Did it start out as plunder?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both here, but it's, so what it's turned into now is that like this Kovlar is just a small city at the very bottom of Sagarok that is just like, any day now, they're going to come through, so let's just send a few adventurers in to start to, you know, whittle their numbers and stuff like that. And the adventurers get you know, the high risk, high reward, right? And some of them do come out, you know, with some battle wounds, but also some treasure.
And those are the ones that end up on the posters.
Exactly.
Honestly, yeah. Kovlar is very Wild Westy. I love it.
It is. Yeah. It very much is, yeah. You know what it kind of reminds me of? If you are reading The Way of Kings, the Stormlight Archives, the battle camps.
The Shattered Plains. I've got that feel from the city.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, that's how it feels, is that it's, like, they're constantly on the brink of something happening, but, like, economy has built up because it's lasted so long.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's a very strange place to be, but it's, like, it's working. So.
Some people say if you delve into the undead city as an adventurer, you might find open booster packs of Pokemon cards. Truly great treasure.
My god, all the scalpers would be down there in a second.
You know, you can send the scalpers to the undead city. That's fine.
Yeah.
Have them. You can keep them. So, Hammersong wants to see you.
Sandor, we're kind of involved with something in the city, in the council. I'm not sure what you had planned, if you were going to go back to the Arcanarium, but that's where we're headed now.
I can follow you for a bit.
Tell me, what do you know of these council members? You seem, you work under one of them. They seem very standoffish, hard to get a read on.
Aren't we all a little standoffish down here? I mean, we're kind of constantly on a teetering precipice of death and destruction and pain.
Well, that's understandable, reasonable.
I've really only worked with the Archmage.
Let's see.
I'm not terribly popular outside of that.
And he doesn't seem like he takes many visitors either.
Oh, the Archmage? No. Good lord, no. By the way, while we walk, can I thumb this paper open and see what he gave me?
Yeah, it's just a Jabali order.
Nice.
What is the dwarven chipotle called?
Chipotle, but mushrooms.
The fresh fungi.
Fresh fungi. I like it.
The fresh fungi.
He always goes for tacos. You know, you got to go for a burrito. That's how you get more for your money.
So when you guys get to Hammersong, when you walk in, he just goes up and he starts shaking your hands in his loud, boisterous manner.
Oh, my friends! Oh, you did a great job finding and rescuing that person.
It cost us one of our number.
And he looks around. He goes,
"Yes, where is the big one? I liked him."
Nah, I'm just actually joshing you. He left of his own accord, had some business to take care of on the surface.
I knew nothing could kill him.
He seemed pretty stout.
Indeed. I know that there was a rough start there with the council, but you all have shown yourself. I want to ask you for your assistance in something here. So, food is not easily come by here, but we have made do with the fungus farms down below, and also the lake to the east of the city. So let me bring you guys to the city of Kovlar. So on the by the way, this map I went took the pleasure of naming all the different quarters around here. So the barricade is the wall. There's the Earthfire District on the northwest, the Commerce, which is like the center area, Traveler's Quarters, which is like the hotels and stuff, that's on the south. And then Farmborough is where the giant mushroom farms are, on the bottom right, or southeast. And if you look, if you zoom in real close, they actually named three of the streets here in Kovlar.
Hmm.
So if you zoom in real close, there's Steel Loop, which goes all the way around the city. Earthfire Avenue, which goes west to east, or east to west, whatever. And then Kovlar Way, which goes north to south. So it's pretty cool that they actually just named it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he explains,
over there on Lakeside, many of the people that have been gathering the fungus on the side of the subterranean lake here at Kovlar, they also do crabbing. but they've noticed crabbing numbers are way, way down. What I would like all of you to try to do is to find out if something is happening to them. Crabbing has been quite prolific here, but their numbers going down makes us worried. Not only for the ecological impact, but also food for us and Kovlar in general. If we need to start outsourcing food now, we want to make sure we do it as soon as possible before we are in dire straits.
This seems like it could truly be the deadliest catch.
Have you considered the possibility that as Kovlar's population steadily increases, you might be prone to overfishing?
Yes, and that is why we have made sure that nobody goes to the far side of the lake. Everybody here stays to the west side of it. But I want you to go to the spawning pools on the far side of the lake and see if anything there is disrupting any of the spawning that might be happening in the crabs.
I don't know if this is a good use of our time. We did come down here for a purpose. We are searching for the Scarlet Triad. I don't know if investigating crabs gets us where we need to go.
You're right. But if Kovlar goes under because of something as simple as our food sources being weighed down, it'll be tragic. Therefore, I just need you to go out there, see if something is disturbing the spawning pools, and come back. If you notice anything, just write it down and make sure that we know. And perhaps I have a 11th level consumable ready for you when you return.
Where do we sign up?
No, I guess Kezra like remains skeptical. But I guess he's looking to glean just like, where are we starting our investigation into the Scarlet Triad? Like, we don't really have a place to start, so
exactly
just exploring Kovlar and whatnot could help us, you know, stumble upon it. But he's just trying to get at that, I guess.
Yeah, so
you are the commander here, are you not?
I am. That's why I was also going to let you know that I have somebody cracking that code that I believe we found on that piece of paper. If what is seeming to come out of this, there might be some civil unrest here. But we need to make sure that what we're seeing on the paper is correct. So I'm having it double verified and making sure that what we're reading is accurate. Therefore, it will just take time.
That is understandable that there must be time to crack the code. I think what I'm getting at is, if we do this investigation for you, I'm sure my fellow party members, Kezra especially, are interested in a high-level magic item. What I'm interested in is access to your barracks. I want to see with my own eyes things that might be unseen to those who are used to seeing things every day.
Well, you should know that here in Kovlar,
and he leans down, and he kind of whispers, he whispers but loudly, you know,
we're even better than those up there. And he points to the Five Kings Mountains above at crafting good weapons.
And so he's kind of like pumping his own own craftsman up, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think what I am insinuating is, as our conversation was earlier, it is hard to trust anyone here, even your own men. What I am saying is I'm looking to see if there's anyone who is untrue and disloyal to you. I think access to your barracks would help us confirm that. It is a tall ask. We are outsiders. However, if we do something for you, maybe you let us have access.
You're More than welcome to do that. But this is starting to be a pressing issue now with the spawning pools. I will arrange for you to have full access to the barracks and speaking to people and whatnot.
Very well. And he puts out a hand to shake on it.
Big hearty handshake from the two of you. Meaty.
Do you check? Do you check his sleeves?
Gar doesn't even know if that's like a thing. He just assumes that all evil secret societies brand themselves in some way.
You pull up his sleeve and you see a tattoo of a naked dwarf lady, and he's like, "Oh." things get lonely out there.
You don't have to tell me, brother.
So crabs, right?
Yep. So they have arranged for you guys to take a small boat out there. It's a large open area. Obviously, there's no wind, so there's no need to, you know, take a sailboat or like a large vessel out there.
Got it. Just, so don't cue the wind and sail noises.
Please don't. Yes. Yeah.
My God, it's like a maelstrom out here.
Do you have like cave drippy sounds?
I do actually. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That
I get
good,
that drippy.
Yeah.
Get that drippy.
Please full, never say that again.
Get that drag.
Hey, Tim, put on full drip, please. All right, you guys make your way down to the lakeside docks. You can see that these docks are pretty simple for the most part. It's like I said, it's a lot of smaller boats. There's nothing too large since people are just going out and getting subterranean fish, getting crabs, and then picking up any like mushrooms that might be like on the side of stuff. So, pretty simple in terms of operation here. So when you get down, they have a boat ready for you. I don't want to say it's a dinghy because it's big enough for more than four of you, but it's pretty small. Let me get to Westlake. There we are. So yeah, this whole thing is just called Westlake. Let me get over to the map for you guys.
Is it? Are we rowing this boat or? Okay, we are rowing this boat. This is just us. There's no
you are rowing the boat.
Crew.
No.
It is a long boat, that's it.
Yep. Like I said, pretty simple boat, but enough for you guys, and then... I imagine Luca's not out, but he could definitely fit in this boat.
Oh, yeah,
While you guys are there.
He's out right now. Like, yeah, honestly, he could fucking row.
Yeah, he's rowing.
I want to ask before we go... What kind of dangers are on this lake? Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Are there creatures in here? Like, are we going to be attacked, or should we make it across fine?
Go ahead and make me a diplomacy check to ask some of the people out here. There are some fishermen and stuff like that, so let's do.
I was about to say, like, at that point, embers can also do that quite well efficiently.
I rolled like dick, so I only rolled 11.
I think, you know how I mentioned earlier about picking up, like, some bottled sunlight? Like, can we, like, retcon and see if that's something they sell?
I mean, you could absolutely buy that. So if you just want to buy that on the side, you're more than welcome.
All right, sweet. I'll spend some gold and get a couple.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ambrose will chat up like a fisherman. He rolled a 34, I guess. So, what exactly else is besides crabs in this lake?
So many crabs, but not so much anymore, and that's what we're worried about. But you want to hear about the legends, do you?
Oh, please do tell.
There's legends of some sort of serpent out there. It's as big as me, as big as that boat. And he points at the boat that you guys are in. He goes, last spotted, I think, 10, 15 years ago. It's when some little prankster kid decided to take his friend out. Apparently they were hunting for something, and I forget what the story is now, but this creature came up and knocked him out. Took the little prankster down to the bottom. His friends made it back, but that serpent, they said, was as big as the boat they were in.
Huh. Oh, do you know what type of serpent it was? Was it like a snake, or was it a dragon, or...
Oh, no, no, no. No, no dragon. Just some hungry serpent of some kind. Smart enough to knock over a boat, though.
I suppose we have to keep an eye out for that. That could be possibly why the crabs are disappearing. Who knows? At least know how deep this lake is. I mean, I'm hoping it doesn't actually come up for why I would need to know this, but I was like, it's underground cavernous lake, so I'm thinking like, what is it, like 100 feet deep or, you know?
I'm gonna say like 50. Jesus. Like 50 to 60. Oh, I hate it. When we were up in, where was that? You remember that like park that we stayed at for a vacation that one time, and like remember all the trailers?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That people. Oh yeah. So we went to a humongous lake. God, I wish I remember what it was called. But at one point when we were out there just paddle boating the whole time, I remember being like, "How deep is this?" Because it's like it's a freshwater lake just like in the mountains, and I remember being like, oh, this is clearly like a valley between two mountains. And, you know, like how deep does it go? And he was like, yeah, about 50, 60, 70 feet. And I was like, holy shit. Well, I was like, can you imagine the catfish that are down there? I was like, oh my God.
I mean, it was like when I went to the Finger Lakes up in New York at one point, and it was just the same thing. We took a boat out there, and the guy was like, yeah, no, it's actually pretty free. It's pretty deep here. like you could, decent sized ship. Could just no issue at all, and it, I don't know why that freaks me out more. It's like you got the ocean and you're like, yeah, I understand it's deep, but then you're like, oh, that's a deep lake, like there's something living down there.
Yeah like there's like certain points when the water isn't as like muddled up and stuff like that, when it's kind of calm and the light can go deeper because it's, you know, the silt hasn't kind of like clouded up the water, and you can see a little too far. how far down that lake
was that shadow?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's why I was. I mean, I, you know, the biggest thing in those lakes is probably a catfish, but big ass catfish. So
okay, but in this case, sea serpent. I mean, lake serpent.
Lake. as you guys are going, you can see that there are a ton of smaller tunnels that sort of like cut off from this like massive lake area that just sort of cut into the subterranean walls. Some of them are super small. You can see a few crabs here or there. You can see a few other like smaller subterranean creatures and fish that are sort of swimming about. And they seem to use these things, these cracks or full tunnels, as sort of little homes, little nooks and crannies that they can take shelter in. But this thing opens up so wide that eventually you guys can't really see the ceiling or the walls of this lake. It's just so huge. And so as scary as it is, it's cultivated an ecosystem where people can farm crabs in this place because they're so big. Are you guys on the map yet?
We are. Yeah.
Okay. So as you guys are rowing out here, you can see, let me see if you guys can't see this actually. Oh, you can. Okay. Over to the east side, there is what appears to be a large pool of glowy, bulbous bubbles. That are sort of like floating around, and you can see that where it kind of gets shallow at a certain point, you can see that these things just look like egg sacs. And there's just thousands of them that are down here. And you can tell that this is where one of the spawning pools is. As you can see that there's a few crabs sort of like floating up, seeing what's going on, and then swimming back down. And you can see that you're near a spawning pool. What would you guys like to do?
So we're just supposed to investigate these pools, right?
Yeah. So they're just looking for if there's any sign of something that might be disrupting their spawning patterns.
I can detect magic. See if there's anything else.
I mean, perception. I mean, the problem, I guess, being is, I guess we would need a nature check for this, just to be able to be like, oh yeah, this looks normal. Like, I mean, I've never seen subterranean crabs before. I mean,
oh, yeah. Something I wanted to do before we left, actually, that I hope isn't too hard. I wanted to like go down to the fucking flea markets and see if I could find myself a wayfinder from some off of some street vendor. Because it can cast light, and I need a light spell.
Oh, like, gotcha.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All pathfinders, like in the Pathfinder Society, they get a wayfinder, and it can work like a torch.
Yeah. So I mean, so many adventurers come down here. I imagine somebody's got to pull a wayfinder off a corpse at some point.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You see some guy do. He's walking by, and he's like, "I wish I never joined." And he throws it to the ground, and he walks away.
How about that?
Dang.
My lucky day.
I pick the wayfinder up, I flip it like a big quarter, grab it, and just walk off whistling.
So you're able to find a wayfinder. So you have your light source now, so you're able to sort of like see down there. And like I said, with the light, you can see down and you can see some of the crabs sort of, you know, swimming about, tending to their spawning pool. All
right.
Go ahead and roll perceptions as you're up here to see if there's anything out of the ordinary. Or if you want to do a nature or survival check, you can kind of see if there's anything amiss.
I'll do perception. 36.
Okay.
I can do a nature check as well.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, go and do a nature check. We'll see who does better.
I did pretty dang well.
Sorry, what skills did you say we could use?
You can do perception just to see if there's anything amiss, or if you want to do nature for like more specific stuff.
That 20 for perception.
Damn, nice.
Well, okay. There we go.
All right. What was your nature there?
My nature was 36.
Okay, so what you guys are looking, you can see that some of the crabs are swimming just fine, and others seem to be swimming kind of weakly. Their back fins aren't working quite well, it looks like some of them have some of their limbs aren't formed correctly. Ooh. It looks like there's something going on with them specifically, and you would know that that this doesn't just like happen. Like crabs are pretty resilient and they regenerate pretty well. So the fact that they seem to be debilitated makes you think that there's something going on inside of the spawning pool itself, or something in the water, perhaps. But there's nothing out here just like smashing eggs. You know what I mean? It seems like there's something going on like a chemical level almost.
Perhaps it's some sort of infection going on.
Who's gonna go down and check?
Well, which one of us is my question exactly? I suppose it'll be me. I'm pretty adept at swimming.
Trying to see if I have any helpful magic here. I know there's an awesome cantrip that I wish I had.
It's like air bubble or something.
It's called if John has it, then he can tell it.
Hold on, I actually might.
There's a really good cantrip for just this situation.
Telekinetic projectile. I pick up the eggs and chuck them.
I actually was supposed to, for some reason I have warp step twice in my cantrips. That's not supposed to be there. I'm supposed to have air bubble. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The spell I think is called, it's called Deep Breath. Is a cantrip. You take an incredibly deep breath and can hold it for the spell's duration, which at our level is 8 hours. You don't lose breath when hit, but you do lose all the air you inhaled if you speak, including casting spells. The spell doesn't create air. If you don't have air to breathe, you don't get the benefit.
Yeah, so, I remember reading this note.
8 hour
okay.
Hold breath. It's amazing.
Damn.
Unfortunately, you can't cast it on the other ones.
Yeah, it's a, I think it's a self spell.
It's a self spell.
I mean, there's no way they'd make a cantrip that powerful.
Oh, God, no.
Well, my God.
Badass cantrip.
I also didn't know if we didn't have something in our items. I've been trying to look through our items. So we have so many different, like, potion of this, scroll of this, scroll of that.
Well, when we know what everybody's going to do, Kezra is going to, he's going to take to the air, and he's going to, like, get an aerial view. I'll wait to do that until everybody knows what they're going to do.
Okay, gotcha. Sandor, since you can cast that, are you going to cast that on yourself?
Yes. I mean, I can't cast it on anyone else.
Yeah, so, okay. All right, so you cast this deep breath on yourself, and you take a...
Wait, how far do you go? And I pull out some rope, and I tie the rope around him.
I thought you were coming with me.
You up. Oh, I mean, all right.
Right,
let's send the wizard in by himself. If I can,
somebody be like, and I tie this rope to him, and then drop an anchor.
Kablunk.
But I do want to tie ropes off.
Oh yeah, definitely
on the boat, and tie it to us, and I'll say we give a couple of swift tugs, start pulling us up.
Yes, of course. And I mean, Luca can easily pull people up pretty freaking fast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're lighter in water. I know he's a heavy, solid, thick dwarf, but yeah.
Yeah. No problem. Okay. So you guys, Kezra, you take to the air while these two dwarves sink to the bottom. You guys go down. You're able to easily get down to the spawning pool. And like I said, you can see that on this like mound, there's just all of these eggs and all these like tiny crabs and some of these larger crabs that are tending to the smaller eggs and stuff like that. But you can see that there appears to be just like something in the water. It's like murkier here. There's like, if you taste it at all, it doesn't taste like, I don't know what subterranean fresh water would taste like, but it tastes worse than what you'd expect. There's like a very, very slight hint of like something gross in the water.
Yeah, does there seem to be a place where there's like where it's concentrating? I'd probably swim to where it looks like it's murkier.
Yeah, I mean, like around the spawning pool in is where it seems to be.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so I'll just kind of go down there and start to inspect it.
You can see that as you get closer, some of the eggs appear to be infected with something. Like they're not the right color compared to like the other ones. Some of the eggs here are like vibrant, but there seems to be a lot more than you'd expect that seems to be like infected, and they seem to like not be growing correctly or at all for that matter.
Can I do a medicine on them?
Yeah, if you want to do a medicine on them.
Good. I also do possibly a knowledge of nature.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with that, too.
All right, so that will be a 33.
You beat my nature check by one.
Okay. So when you go down here, the taste on your lips and the way that you're looking at these crabs, you're like, something feels like it was put into the water. Like, this doesn't feel natural. This doesn't feel like something that would just happen. Everything here is sort of, like, secluded, so not really anything would like, come in here and, like, introduce something into the ecosystem like this. It seems like something was, like, put into this spawning pool somehow. And like I said, it feels like it's on, like, a chemical. Application. You know what I mean?
So I have like the kind of the hint that it might be like crafting, like alchemical, so maybe outside of my expertise. So I know of religion, so I would know if it's cursed, or I can maybe get a vibe of this curse. I know of medicine, but I do not know like, the alchemical.
Right. You could easily take a sample and see if Kezra knows something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
I mean, if it's alchemical, can I make a crafting check?
Ooh, Sandor. Oh, yes.
You may.
But self-respecting wizard doesn't have a great crafting.
He's got to make them good chemicals for himself.
36.
Dang! All right.
So you open your mouth just a bit in order to sort of like taste the water. You take like a little lick of it.
This is so gross.
You know, it could be the most deadliest thing in the world. Gotta taste it.
Gotta taste it. It reminds me of like, I was watching some like geologist thing, and they're like, we're exploring this mountain, and it's like, I'm here with this world-renowned PhD, and they're like spelunking in the cave, they're like lowering down, it's like a 70-foot drop, it's like, this is incredible, National Geographic, and the scientist is like, lick the walls, and he's like, all right, and he licks right. it, and he's like, it's salt.
Look, sometimes you just gotta lick it to figure it out.
So I was like, okay, geologist, they just lick it.
I saw a little cartoon on Instagram. It was like, I'm gonna dip my finger in this poisoned wine and taste it so I can get a better accurate description of what the poison may be. It's like 30 seconds later, it was wyvern poison. He's dead.
So this is not some sort of wyvern poison, luckily. But there is an obvious alchemical thing, as an aspect to what's happening here in the water, that you know that it's some kind of poison that was introduced here into the spawning.
Saboteur.
All right. I kind of just point up, so we, like, I'm trying to tell him to go.
Yeah, I'll
up.
Give a couple swift tugs because I feel like I'm probably running out of breath here because we're just kind of moseying around.
Yanks and pulls off.
the two dwarves get whipped through the air as they breach the surface.
Yes.
Hit the boat, go right through the boat. Boat sinks.
I mean,
everybody died.
I mean, because
we're just flying, watching all this shit happen.
I mean, do you want an athletic check? I mean, just saying.
So you guys get pulled up, and you're waiting in the water there, and the moment that you insinuate that there's some sort of poison.
Poison.
Well, that seems quite up the alley of a particular organization. And he's just...
Oh, yeah. Does the poison feel familiar at all? Because I was probably hit with a lot of different crazy stuff.
I did some crazy shit in the 60s.
Oh, the 60s. Under my captivation.
I wouldn't say that it feels familiar. Okay. It's just that it feels alchemical. Yeah. It doesn't feel like the natural sort of taste. Now, here's the thing. Is that while you guys are talking about this, Kezra, You're flying about, and you see something in the water.
Oh boy.
You see something go under the boat.
Look out!
I'm sure it's friendly.
And it goes from the south to the north, and then you see it turn around and start heading towards the surface. It looks like that.
It's Chessy!
Oh my god, it's so big.
God.
I'm gonna hit show to players.
Oh my god, it's so large.
That is 100% Chessy.
Yep, that's what our sea serpent looks like.
It is a gargantuan sea serpent.
This is in fact, a gargantuan sea serpent.
Oh my god, oh my god.
This thing breaches the surface with its serpentine head and these fangs. And this tail is whipping. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And then it roars at you. Luckily, Kezro sees another shadow coming from the far southeast that looks to be about the same size. And I'll see you guys next time.
Oh my god.
Hey, maybe they're friendly.
Jesse's got a friend.
Water combat.
Oh, that was not good, y'all.